passage. And normally I like to preach expositorially, but this morning, I want to preach more of a topical message. And so we'll do that this morning. The title of my sermon is called The Sin of Prayer. So at that, we will pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be a clean and an empty vessel for you to use right now, that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and use me, Lord, that it would be your words and not my words. Pray that you would work in each of our hearts, Lord, help us to be brought into conviction about this specific area. Pray that you would help us to see the importance of it, and Lord, that we would not only be hearers of your word, but doers as well. Just guide us through this time. We ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen. Now, obviously, the title of my sermon is an attention getter. It's to make sure that you're paying attention to me. And so, but it is true, okay? We can, and oftentimes, many times do, sin by our attitude of prayer, okay? By how we use prayer in a wrong way. And so don't shut me off just yet. I want to explain some things before we get started. Before I do get started, I want to make sure that you do understand the importance of prayer. I'm not saying that prayer is wrong, but sometimes the way we use prayer is wrong. And prayer is very important. God commands us. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. So if anything, most Christians aren't praying enough. Okay, it's not that it's wrong to pray, but we need to be praying. We need to be in a right relationship with God through our prayers. And so be careful. Do pray. That's not the way with the direction we're going. I don't want you to leave here this morning thinking that, you know, Brother Fruin thinks that we shouldn't pray, you know, that it's wrong to pray. That's not my point at all. And so, again, I'll explain that as we go on. So first of all, we want to look at what prayer is. Prayer is how we thank God, how we praise God, how we get guidance and direction from God, and how God uses that to get us to go in the right way. The problem that I see, though, is that many Christians come to the conclusion that by praying about something, that it relieves me of the responsibility of doing anything else. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. Many times, God wants us to put feet to our prayers, not to just pray about it. Yes, prayer is important. It's the first step. But he expects us to take that prayer and to go on beyond that prayer. And I'm going to use the illustration or the example more, the example of praying for lost souls. And really, this can be used about any situation. Praying about anything really can apply, but I want to focus on that specific thing to give you a better understanding about what I'm talking about this morning. The Great Commission tells us, as you have down back on your back wall, I saw on the map back there, Matthew 16:15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, just because I pray about something doesn't mean that I fulfilled the Great Commission. I need to be going out and witnessing, giving people the gospel, telling people about Jesus Christ and his mercy and his grace for us. I heard you guys are having your outreach, and you're going to be ending that this Thursday. That's the last day, and I know that's not an end of your going out and giving out the gospel. That's just a coordinated effort by the church. You as an individual still have a responsibility to daily give out the gospel.
Right.
It's not just, oh, well, the church isn't doing it anymore for this year, and so I don't have to do it anymore. No, that's not what it's meant at all. And so we need to be giving out the gospel. We need to tell other people about Christ. Yes, we should pray about the lost souls, but that's not an end to it. We pray many times for people to get saved, but we don't do anything about it. And that's just one illustration. We pray that someone or somebody has a need. Somebody has a problem, maybe physical, maybe they don't have enough money. And so we pray for that person and we say, oh, go in peace. But we don't do anything about it. We don't take the time and the energy to help that person. We pray for missions, and we're not willing to go. We pray for our children to be godly, and yet we don't take the time and the energy and follow the scriptural guidelines on how to train them the right way. See, there's in each of those illustrations, there's a part that I have to take. There's a step that I have to take. There's a responsibility that I have as a Christian to be diligent in following the commandments of God. It's just not praying about something and then that's it. G. Campbell Morgan said, abandonment may be easy to talk about, yet men shrink from it. They would rather do anything else. But nothing can take the place of abandonment. Some people attempt to put prayer where God has put abandonment. Others profess to wait until God is willing to fill them. We want to use different excuses to get out of what God has directly commanded us to do. I would say that most Christians don't have a sense of abandonment today. We're apathetic towards the things of God. We're apathetic towards the world. We are not given over to God's plan and His purpose for our lives. We are not being filled with the Holy Spirit's prompting and conviction in our lives, are faithful to those. You know, it's easy to pray about something, isn't it? You know, how long does it take to pray? You know, pray for a lost soul. Dear Lord Jesus, please be with my neighbor, help him to get saved. Amen, right? There's no confrontation on my part. I don't have to worry that my neighbor might laugh at me. But those are all part of our walk with God. Those are all necessary. We can't just pray about it and leave it go. We have to be diligent in doing what God wants us to do. Are you really living in the will of God if you aren't willing to give Him your all, to abandon the things of this world, to live for God? You know, it's interesting how many limitations we place on God. You know, we go to church on Sunday. And, you know, if we go to church on Sunday morning to go to Sunday school, Sunday morning and then Sunday evening, and maybe if we're good Christians, we come on prayer meeting on Wednesday night and we think, you know, we're good Christians. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But, you know, other than that, the rest of the time is mine. God can't really expect me to take my time and my energy to witness to the lost on a normal basis. God can't really expect me to, you know, go help my neighbor when they're in a time of need. All that time, you know, I work 40 hours a week, and, you know, that time, other than that, that's my time. We fail to realize, though, that as Christians, we are bought with a price. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We don't belong to ourselves. We're His slaves. We owe Him our lives. Not only did He create us, but He saved us. He purchased us, and we belong to Him. We have no right to say that I won't do that because it's my time. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do in that situation because, you know, I go to church. I do enough for God already. A lot of times we are good Christians and we give 10% of our tithe or 10% of our money as a tithe, not realizing that all that we have belongs to God. 100%. You know, that 90% that God allows us to have, we're still supposed to be good stewards of it. We're still supposed to be careful on how we spend it and what we use it for. And so if somebody's in need, and God burdens our heart about that, we don't have the pleasure of just saying, okay, I'll pray about it. You know, if God really shows me in the sky, you know, if God does this or God does that and God does this, then I'll do what he says. But if he doesn't do all those miraculous signs, I'm not going to do what the Bible clearly says that I'm supposed to do. Do we have an option to give out the gospel? No. Am I supposed to be going out and giving out the gospel every opportunity that I can? Yeah. Am I supposed to be helping those in need at all times? Yes. Now, obviously, we have to be careful about that. We don't just give money to a beggar on the street because he's probably going to use it to buy drugs or something else. But, you know, there might be something we can do about it. So we have to realize that everything we have belongs to God, and everything we, all our time belongs to God, and whatever God wants us to do, we need to be willing to do. I'm going to use a couple of biblical examples of men who were praying about a situation, and that's a lot of times what we do. We pray about the situation. We just, you know, I'm going to keep praying about this and praying about this and praying about it, and when God shows me clearly, even though he's already showed us in his word, when God shows me clearly that he wants me to do that, then I'll do what he wants me to do. Two examples from the Bible. First of all, I'll turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse 15. A lot of you already know this story. Exodus, chapter 14, verse 15. Second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And again, this is probably a very familiar story for you. The story of how Moses and Israel left the land of Egypt to go to the promised land. And so they go through the plagues, they leave, and on their way out, they get stuck at the Red Sea. Now, you know, I don't think that God gave Moses a map of what was going to happen. I don't think he said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you leave Egypt, and then you're going to get stuck at the Red Sea, and then this is going to happen. I don't think that was like that. I think Moses had to walk by faith. I know that. Okay? As he met the different trials, the different situations, he had to depend on God. And so they leave Egypt. They get stuck at the Red Sea. The Egyptians are right behind them, ready to overtake them. The Israelites are sure that they're going to kill them. And so Moses gets down on his face, and he prays and asks God for help. Now, who knows what he was praying for? Maybe he was praying that God would just wipe out the Egyptians. I don't know. That would have solved all the problems, right? But that's not the way God worked. God says, "Get up, Moses, and walk across the sea." It took a step of faith. You know, we can look back and see how things worked out, and, you know, we say, "Oh, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have walked through the Red Sea." Would you really? Can you imagine those walls of water on each side of you? Nobody had ever done that before. That was a step of faith. Ask the Egyptians. Okay, it didn't work for them. Okay, they got drowned in the water. Okay, but they had a goal. Moses had to go and do what he was supposed to do. He couldn't just pray about the situation and expect God to take care of everything. He had to actually pray and then go. Pray and then do. Prayer is directly tied to faith. And if it doesn't take any faith on our part, is it really prayer? James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." We have to take those steps of faith. Faith should motivate us to action, knowing that we are in the will of God. I pray about something, and then I follow God's leading in that specific area. If there is no works without faith, if there's no motivation to do what God wants us to do, it's hard to see that there's any faith at all. Doesn't mean that you're not necessarily saved. It just means that you're not trusting God to guide you and lead you and to protect you. Another illustration is found in Joshua. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua, right after the Pentateuch. Joshua chapter 7, verse 10. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 7, verse 10. Joshua chapter 7, verse 10, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" Again, the story of Joshua, many of you know this one as well. The people of Israel, Moses is dead. Joshua and the people of Israel cross over into the promised land. They first face Jericho, and God tells them what to do. All they have to do is walk around the city seven times. And then on the seven or six times, can't even remember the story, and seven times, they're supposed to walk seven times around. Anyway, the walls of Jericho fall down, and God tells the people of Israel not to take anything from Jericho. Okay, everything in the city was dedicated to God. But one man named Achan takes some stuff. Shortly after the Jericho situation, the city, the taking over the city, they find this little city called Ai, and they said, "Well, you know, it's really small, no problem. We'll just send 3,000 men, go and try to go to defeat it." So they send 3,000 men, and they're driven back. And so Joshua gets on his face, and he pleads to God. God had promised them that they would defeat all the land of Palestine. Okay, they would be able to defeat all those different nations. And now they're driven back. They're defeated. And so he's worried that the Canaanites were going to come and attack him. And so he's down praying, prostrate on the ground. And God says, "Get up. There's sin in the camp. The sin needs to be taken care of before I'm going to answer your prayer. We need to make sure that we're in obedience with God and His Word in order for God to answer our prayers. We can't just live our lives casually, doing whatever we want, and expect God to take care of all our problems, expect God to answer all of our prayers. He's not going to do it. Tells us that. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." We need to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. We fail God in our obedience to Him. And then you know what we do? We blame God for not answering our prayer. We pray for lost people, and they don't get saved, and we say, "Oh, it's God's fault. I prayed for that person." Things don't go the right way in our lives, and we say, "Oh, it's God's fault." And yet we're living in sin. We're not doing what God wants us to do. We can't blame it on God. God is always perfect. God is always holy. And if there's a fault, it's always in us. We need to be sensitive to God's working in our hearts as we pray, that He might use us to answer those prayers. We ask God to take care of some problems in our lives, and yet we don't take the steps of faith that we need to. You know, I always think about this. I have problems in my life. I struggle with sin in my life. And I say, you know, wouldn't it be great just to not have any more temptations, not have any struggles? Wouldn't it be great if I could actually sing perfectly? You know, wouldn't that be great? I can't sing at all. Pastor probably, you know, looking at me like, how can he lead music, you know? Wouldn't it be great, though? How many of you would like that? Would just that God would just zap us, you know, make us perfectly holy? I think about that, yeah. One day, that's right, one day. But here on this earth, it's not going to happen. We would be robots. Right? If God made us perfect, we would never sin. We wouldn't even have the temptations to sin. We'd basically be robots. You know, there's no faith involved in that. And that's what our life is as Christians, a step of faith, a day by day, hour by hour, second by second, walk in faith, trusting God to guide us in the right way, to do the right thing. Yes, we still have to make the choice, but God gives us the answer. God will guide us in the right way if we ask Him to, but we still have to take that step of faith. I can follow God and do what God wants me to do, or I can follow the world and the flesh. It's a step of faith. I can't blame it on God because I go the wrong direction. I have to do what He wants me to do. I think of the men and women of the faith we find in Hebrews chapter 11. Each one of them, they prayed. But each one of them had to take steps of faith. Think of Joseph in prison, Joseph in jail. You think he prayed when he was in there? Okay, but he still had to do right, even though through great trials, great sacrifice. Think of the story of Noah. God tells Noah, build an ark. Okay, it's hard to know what was going on back then, whether they even had any, you know, I know they had rivers and so forth, but whether they, you know, experienced rain. Okay, most people think that they didn't even rain at that time. The water came up from the ground. Okay, kind of a misty thing. Okay, and now God says He's going to flood the world. They never even seen a flood before, never even experienced rain, and God's just going to make the whole water or the whole world just filled with water. And so He tells Noah that you need to build an ark. Now, you know, my question is, why didn't God just create an ark? Could God have created an ark? Created the world, okay? He could have created an aircraft carrier. Wouldn't that have been neat? Just a nice nuclear aircraft carrier. You could put all the animals on there. You know, He wouldn't have even had to use the doves and the ravens. He could have just sent out an F-14 and seen if there was land somewhere around, you know? That would have been nice. But He didn't do that. For 100 years or more, Noah had to build an ark. That took faith. He had to not only pray about it, but he had to do something, right? He had to gather the animals. He had to gather the food. He had to chop down trees. He had to do all sorts of stuff. Life for a Christian is not just praying about something. Yes, prayer is the first step. It's a very, very important step. But we also need to do something afterwards. Walking in faith, doing what He wants us to do. Prayer has a purpose. It's not just a wish list. God is not a genie that we can manipulate to do what we want Him to do. That's what they believe in Cambodia. You just pray about things. You give things to the gods, and they got to give things back to you. That's not the way it works. It's not just so we can relieve our consciences either. Faith or prayer is for our faith to grow. It's that we continue to glorify God. So my challenge to you this morning, are you willing to accept the responsibilities of what you are praying about? Are you really praying in faith? If you're not, willing to obey God if God calls you to answer that specific prayer. Okay, if you're praying for a lost neighbor, but you're not willing to go over there and give them the gospel, you say, well, God, I'm going to pray about them, but you need to send somebody else. Is that really praying in faith? I'm not saying some people, sometimes I preach this message and people come up to me and afterwards and they say, you know, I prayed for my neighbor and I gave him the gospel. You know, does that mean I'm wrong because I'm not continuously giving them the gospel? And I'm just like, well, no, not necessarily. If you're praying and then you went, okay? You went though. You obeyed the word of God. You gave the gospel. Okay, now I think you should still, every so often, continue to give them the gospel. I'm not saying you should not have to do it just but once, but, you know, I'm not saying you have to be constantly knocking on the door every second and giving them the gospel, okay? And there maybe there's somebody you can't reach. But you know what? We have these square things now, these rectangle. I don't even have mine with me. These rectangular things that you press a couple buttons. You know, if maybe somebody's not near you, you can give them a call. You can email them. There's all sorts of ways you can give the gospel to somebody. But those don't relieve us from our prayers, from not doing something. Our prayers don't relieve us from going as well. So praying for something doesn't relieve us or free us from the obligation. It actually increases our obligations to that specific thing. I don't think Nehemiah, when he heard about the walls of Jerusalem being torn down, and he started to pray about it, I don't think he initially thought, I want to go there and help them, so I'm going to pray and ask God to help me. No, he just started praying about the situation. I believe that as time progressed, as he prayed about the situation, God started to burden his heart about that specific thing. And Nehemiah was willing to go. And that's what we need to be conscious of as we pray about something. Maybe God's going to use me to do that. Now, God doesn't always use us for every single thing we pray about. Okay, I don't believe that every time you pray that God's going to call you to do that specific thing, but many times he does, and we say, well, I prayed about it, that's all I have to do. That's not the right answer. So again, often God uses prayer as a way to burden our hearts about it, to go on to the next step. It's a stepping stone to what God wants us to do in our lives. So, first pray, and then obey. Be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. But we need to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. Okay, when we pray about something, pray about it, meditate, ask God, maybe he wants me to be a missionary. Maybe he wants me to witness to this neighbor. Maybe he wants me to help that person over there. So pray, then obey. Be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Let's pray.